Well, good morning and welcome to worship here at Greystone Baptist Church. My name is Alan Smith. I serve here as the minister to students, and it is my joy and privilege to welcome you to worship this morning. Just a couple things for your attention as we begin worship. First, I hope you will notice the friendship pads either at the end of your pew or potentially even seated in the hymn rack in front of you. We do invite you to take that and pass it down the pew. We hope this gives you an opportunity to become a little bit more familiar with some of those whom are worshiping around you this morning. Also, you'll notice in those friendship pads, these connection cards. We do invite you to complete these to the level of your own comfort. If there's any information that you'd like to share with us, either a prayer request or maybe some additional contact information so that we can stay in touch with you as a church family. Also, one more note, you'll notice that our minister of music, Mike Eller, is not here. He was not able to make it back from his vacation due to the weather. And so we are grateful to several who will be helping to lead in his absence this morning. So for Pam Weiss, Tim Hendricks, and Brian Martin, we are grateful for your leadership this morning. Thank you. Now let us continue in worship.
Read with me together on our opening sentences, please. God's love is poured out on God's world.
From the foundations of time, God's love is woven into all things.
When we cry, Abba, Father, God hears and lovingly responds to us.
Thanks be to God, who forgives and lifts us up.
Now we are called to be born anew. Let us open our hearts and our lives as we worship.
Holy, 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 God of all.
Good morning, guys. My name is Johnny. I'm glad to see you guys are here today. I want to show you some pictures, okay? See the top right there? That's a guy named Steve Blow. Keep that in mind. How about this picture I got highlighted right there? That's John and Kim Escherman, right? Yeah? Who do you think that is right there? Just highlighted. That's Linda Peterson. She's sitting right there on the very front row. You're going to actually hear from her later tonight. You know? And there are... What do you think all those people have in common? What do you think they have in common? Well, let me tell you. They are all deacons. And do you know that in our church history, we've had about 300 different people that have been deacons? You know, some are still with us. Some have gone on to other churches. But we've had over 300 people deacons, so lots and lots of people are deacons. Now, what do you think? What do you think the common characteristic is for all those people? What do you think it's like about all of them? What do you think they do as deacons? You think they boss people around? You think they tell the minister what to do or to speak? Yeah. Do you think that they're the ones that take up the money at the end and maybe split it at the end? If that was true, we'd have a lot more deacons, you know? Everybody would want to be a deacon, right? So their job is not to run the church. Their job is to serve people and to care for people and to do things like baptism and Lord's Prayer. What do you think it means to serve? How can you serve? Walker, tell me something. How can you serve? Yeah, helping other people, that's actually, and they do that, right? Yeah. Yeah, give money to the poor, sure. Yeah. Yeah, supporting food banks, exactly. Our deacons are doing all kinds of things like that. They may teach in Sunday school. They may be part of the service. They may be in the choir. You probably have had deacons to teach you somewhere along the way, right? They also care for other members. How can they care for other members? When somebody gets what? Sick? Yeah? Hmm? Hurt? Yeah, absolutely. When somebody has an accident? Yeah. Do you want to say something? Okay. Yeah, when people get sick, they can take the meals, right? That's a real big thing for the deacons. They're working on that right now. They're having a new group do that? Yeah, absolutely. See, that deacons can do all kinds of things for people. Do you know they're also responsible for the care for the staff, for the pastor and the youth pastor, Amanda and April, Mike? They're in care for them too, because see, they're people just like we are. They need caring for, right? They also do baptism. You know, when you get baptized, any of you guys been baptized yet? Okay, well, when you get up there and stand in that nice warm water and get dunked and hold your nose, get baptized, they help do that, right? They also are deacon of the week. Kim, she's our deacon of the week this week, right? So there's all kinds of things that they can serve and do. Now tell me, we believe that our deacons are really good people, right? And a pastor told me a long time ago that deacons were elected, and we elect them ourselves, for what they have done, not for what they will do, right? So they're an example of how to be a Christian. They're an example of how to love people. Tell me, how can you be a good deacon? How can you be an example of a deacon? What can you do to help other people? Yeah. Absolutely. How about you guys? What can you do to help people? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, some of the things that we've always said, I'll come back to you. Some of the things we've always said is be good to your mom and dad, to do what they say, right? You know, but this is a little bit more than this. How many of you have ever said thank you to the Sunday school teacher after you finish? That's great. See, that's a great thing to do because they're giving their time, right? They're being deacon-like. That's what we all want to strive for, is to be deacon-like. Now, we don't put them on a pedestal. They're not any better than we are. But they have proven themselves that they want to serve the Lord. And we have recognized that by electing them to deacons. And we're going to be electing 6 new deacons today. Everybody will be voting today. You know, so we'll have 6 new ones to go with our 12 already. So we'll have 18 people that's responsible for doing that. Each one, you want to say, you want to say something? You have, how do you want to be a deacon like? Okay. All right. So our goal here when we leave here is to be more like a deacon. And that means thanking your Sunday school teacher, seeing somebody in the orange shirts today and thanking them. You can also pray for them, right? When you do your prayers tonight, pray for somebody in church that they've done something good. And that'll translate into something really great. Okay, let's go to the word, Lord, in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our children. We thank you for the leaders of our children's group. We ask that you ask, help us to be deacon-like, that we'll love everyone just like you love us. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Lou Ostendorf, chair of the Deacon Nominating Committee. And we have, we find ourselves now at the end of about a three-month period of considering new nominations for deacons. We've received nominations from the congregation, and we have reviewed those nominations, and we feel like we've come up with a good suggestion for six replacement deacons. As you know, or if you don't know, every year six deacons rotate off, and so we are obliged to review and suggest nominations for six replacement deacons. So that's the process we find ourselves in now. So we have reviewed the nominations that the church has provided, and we now have six deacon candidate nominations for you to consider. These nominations have been listed in the church bulletin and in the church newsletter for a number of weeks prior, and their biographies have been published. I think there are also some on the table in the rear if you care to read those and have not read them. Today we ask that you find in your bulletin a deacon ballot and prayerfully consider these six nominees. As you prayerfully consider them and vote, please place this deacon ballot in the offering plate as it's passed later. We thank the nominees for their consideration of this position as servant leader. And Johnny, thank you for that introduction to being a deacon and what it's like and what the job encompasses. The ballots will be counted and tallied at the end of the service, and the announcements will be made at a later date. We want to thank the people on the committee who've served to make these nominations, and again, thank the candidates for their prayerful consideration of this deacon servant ministry. Thank you.
Hello, I am Charlie Vestal, and as you can probably tell from the many shirts around the room, we went on a mission trip this past weekend, and we went to Red Springs, North Carolina to do flood relief work. So we met this nice homeowner named Miss Joanne, and we worked on hardwood floor for her house. She was living out back in a trailer, and she let us use her bathroom whenever we needed to, and she helped us out on the way. And so, as I said, we worked on hardwood floor, and so I helped sweep, lay underlayment, staple the underlayment down, and put in and nail in hardwood floor. We got about a third of the house done, and we made very good progress.
So on the youth group's recent mission trip to Red Springs, we got the opportunity to go to a soup kitchen called My Refuge. The woman who owned and operated My Refuge was named Miss Rose, and when you first met her, she was really intimidating, and she put you straight to work. And every night, Miss Rose prepared a home-cooked meal and did a devotional for everyone eating there that night. Despite her harsh personality, when Miss Rose talked about God, she seemed so grateful and so passionate about sharing his word and his love. This was a woman who spent all her time, money, and energy helping those less fortunate than her, and she gave it all to God. Not once did she complain about not having enough money or enough help, but instead she thanked God for all she had been given. She thanked him for our youth group, and she thanked him for allowing her to help all the people that came into My Refuge. I think we should all strive to be as faithful and as humble as Miss Rose.
Thank you for sharing, Eliza and Charlie. I'd also like to thank you, Greystone Baptist, for all of your love and prayers and thoughts throughout our week in Lumberton. It was a very fun week, but more important than that, it was a very important week for us to learn how we can really serve others through working in a soup kitchen, through hanging sheetrock, doing hardwood floors, or playing with kids at a transitional home apartment complex. Will you now please join me in a time of prayer? Most gracious God, as we reflect upon a wonderful week of service, we give thanks. We give thanks for the opportunity to serve Miss Holly by putting up sheetrock in her home, for the opportunity to serve Miss Joanne by laying hardwood floors in her home, for the opportunity to have fellowship with the people of Lumberton by preparing their meals at My Refuge Soup Kitchen, and for the opportunity to run around and play with kids who live at the Grace Courts apartment complex. We give thanks for a life-changing week, not only for those whose houses we helped repair, but for us as well. We also give thanks to the members of Greystone Baptist Church who sent their love, prayers, and support as we went out to serve. Just as you empowered us to answer the call to serve in Lumberton, I pray that you continue to empower us to answer calls to serve here in Raleigh. There's so much we can do in our home community to help those in need, and I pray that we actively seek out those opportunities to better your kingdom and love each and every person inhabiting it. Lord, I pray that you continue to show your presence to the people of Lumberton and Red Springs as they continue to overcome the obstacles that arose from Hurricane Matthew. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
pray with me. Good morning, Father. We come to you with thanks for being allowed to worship you here together on this day. We are thankful for each and every member who shares their tithes and offerings today. May they know the blessings and know how these offerings allow us to do your good work through our ministers, our deacons, our missions team, and our youth. Thank you for the faithfulness of this congregation, and bless these offerings to your good work. This we ask in your holy name. Amen. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman.
Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. She departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bowshot, for she said, "Do not let me look upon the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know many of the statistics. Half of all marriages end in divorce. Over 50% of families in our country are remarried or recoupled, and in just the United States alone, there are 1,300 new blended families formed each day. Staggering, staggering numbers, particularly for the many of us who are surrounded by traditional examples of family. You know, the ones with a mother and father, a son and daughter, a dog and a white picket fence. Sure, we can describe what a blended family is. We might know what it looks like. But at least for myself, I can admit that it's difficult for me to resonate with the dynamics that might be present in those situations when it's not something that I'm familiar with. And so I think it's only natural that our perspective is so easily shaped by what we have seen. Take, for example, the story of Cinderella, the Disney classic. A young girl finds herself living with a stepmother and two stepsisters, all of whom are quick to make Cinderella, her life, more and more difficult. The stepmother clearly plays favorites with her two daughters, and Cinderella's stepsisters are considered to be the best children. Poor Cinderella, she is quickly an outsider even in her own family, forced to be a servant to the stepmother and stepsisters. Sure, Cinderella does end up fitting into the glass slipper at the end of the story and living that life happily ever after with the prince, but one does not get the impression that her relationship with her stepmother and stepsisters was anything friendly and loving. Of course, on the other end of the spectrum, you have everyone's favorite blended family. That's right, the Brady Bunch. You have Mike Brady marrying Carol, Mike and his three boys joining up with Carol and her three girls. Like any family, they would have their rough patches, but it seems that through all of life's ups and downs, the family was loving and supportive of one another. At the very least, no one was asked to leave the family, right? Of course, in the middle of these two examples is what I would consider to be my favorite of these three, probably because I'm partial to movies that make me laugh. Step Brothers is a movie depicting the marriage of Nancy Huff and Dr. Robert Dobek. Their marriage also means that Nancy and her adult son, Brennan, must move in with Robert and his adult son, Dale. For those of you that have not seen it, part of the humor is that both Brennan and Dale are in their 40s and living at home with their parents and must learn to share their space and their parents very quickly. Sure, there's a lot of tension at first. Dale tells Brennan that he's not allowed to touch his drum set, so of course Brennan plays on the drum set, leading to a fist fight in the front yard. But the brothers quickly realize that they have so many shared interests that they really are meant to be best friends. They even build bunk beds in their room so that they can have more space for fun activities. The ups and downs continue until the family is reunited at the end at a work event organized by Brennan. All right, that's probably enough movie examples, but the point that I want you to hear, the point that I hope you've heard, is that each of these stories illustrates some of both the blessings and the challenges of being in blended families. There is certainly an excitement of bringing in new family members, getting to know new step brothers and sisters, but that excitement is quickly juxtaposed with the jealousness and the jealousy that goes along with sharing one's home and one's family with some new siblings. And okay, I admit it. Isaac and Ishmael aren't stepbrothers. They're really half-brothers. They share a father in Abraham. But regardless of whether they're stepbrothers or half-brothers, the dynamics of being in a blended family are at play. And the dynamics of having Abraham as a shared father but different mothers, and the blessings and challenges that go along with that are at play in the story we read this morning. It begins with Abraham hosting a great feast and celebrating his son Isaac. And it is at this feast that Sarah notices Ishmael laughing and playing. She seems to grow jealous, and we don't know all of the reasons that are causing her jealousy, but it seems to be tied to her fear that Isaac, the child of God's promise, would soon inherit not all of Abraham's estate, that it would have to be shared with this other son, Ishmael. And can you blame Sarah? Wouldn't any mother do the same thing, protecting her own child? Sarah has no connection to Ishmael. Her own loyalty is to her own flesh and blood, Isaac, the one who is named for the laughter that she expressed when God promised that she would bear a son. So why would she care to help Ishmael receive any of the inheritance that she felt was promised to Isaac and to Isaac alone? You know, this story of half-brothers, it looks a lot more like the story of Cinderella, where the mother seems to only care about her own child, doing whatever she can to remove the stepchildren from the picture. And, of course, there's Abraham, who, like any good husband, is quick to do exactly as his wife has told him. His heart is sad for Ishmael, but God encourages Abraham to listen to his wife, Sarah. And so Abraham sends Hagar and Ishmael away with a bit of water and some bread. Hagar and Ishmael had nowhere to go. They had no home. There were no homeless shelters. They just went off into the wilderness, just wandering around without a home and without any other family. How must it have felt to have been Ishmael? Remember, when Sarah could not have children, she asked Abraham to marry Hagar so that they might have a son, Ishmael. Hagar had simply done what she was asked. Ishmael had done nothing more but grow up as Abraham's son. Yet, as soon as Isaac comes along, bye, Ishmael. And that's Ishmael. Neglected, forgotten, discarded, gone. I want you to take a moment and remember the story that was just read to you. And I want you to think back through the story and listen in your head. Listen for all the instances where Ishmael's name was mentioned in the story. Do you hear it? I'll confess, in my Bible, the italicized heading of the story does say, Hagar and Ishmael sent away. And there are a few points through the story where Hagar is mentioned by name, but Ishmael? No. His name is nowhere to be found in the story. Sure, it often refers to the child, and so one can understand that it is Ishmael, the child, who is with Hagar, but really we only understand that because we've read previous to this story to understand that Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. The point is that in this story, Ishmael is such a stepchild that he isn't even named. He is now just the child who is sent away. I mean, talk about neglected, forgotten, and discarded, right? You see, the story, though, of this child from long ago is not just a story from long ago. It's one that we are reminded of each and every day. Think for a moment. Think about the people that you see each day when you're stopped at a traffic light. You know, the ones who are in the median or on the sidewalk holding up cardboard signs asking for food. It's really easy to turn your eyes the other way. We don't know their names, just like the child in the story. We know nothing about these individuals or their situations. And that's why it's easy for us to focus on the great feast and instead forget that there are children who are in need. Or another example, consider the people of eastern North Carolina. In October, Hurricane Matthew came through, causing flooding that wrecked and destroyed so many of their homes. Our group of youth and adults, you heard some about their trip a few moments ago. Our group is just one of several who have spent countless hours going down to areas of eastern North Carolina and helping to rebuild these homes. Yet the need remains great. In the Lumberton area alone, the North Carolina Baptist men have committed to repairing and rebuilding over about 160 homes. Yet still about 60 of those have yet to be even started. There are real people who want to live in these homes, who used to live in these homes, but they haven't even been started yet. These homes are not just numbers on a list, yet 9 months later, that's what they are. The point is that while I, and I hope you, are very proud of our youth and adults who spent time working in that area, the number of Ishmaels around Lumberton, the number of people who have been neglected and forgotten, remains great. Or consider the folks at the Grace Courts Domestic Shelter, a transitional living center for single mothers who have dealt with various domestic issues and are there with their children. They live now in a safe space, one that has enough protection for them not to be worried about what might happen to their children, but the fact that this transitional housing is even needed is a reminder of the many Ishmaels that continue to live in our world. Even the My Refuge soup kitchen you heard Eliza speak of, organized by Ms. Rose, a wonderful ministry that provides clothing, hot meals, and even canned goods to people in need in the Lumberton community. But you see, the soup kitchen is so much more than that, because I don't think a person comes through there where Ms. Rose does not know their name. There isn't an individual that walks through the door that is not known, that is not loved, that is not cared for. And then they are told of God's great love for them. On one of the days when I served at the soup kitchen myself, I had the opportunity to meet a man there named Jerry. Now, at first, it was just some small talk as Jerry and I were breaking down boxes from canned goods and moving them out of the way to have room for dinner. I asked Jerry how long he'd been in Lumberton. Of course, he replied his whole life. I shared that our group was from a church in Raleigh. And of course, Jerry was quick to say he was hoping to move away from Lumberton and more towards a place like Raleigh. But about an hour or so later, before I left the soup kitchen that day, Jerry stopped me again and shared many things about his life that I won't share with you today, all the details, but I will share what made my heart break the most. And that was when Jerry looked at me and shared that he just felt like there weren't a whole lot of people or anybody that really cared about him. It was clear that he felt so lonely, even in a community where he had lived his entire life. I cannot imagine anything being more lonely than being a young child who's left under a bush, abandoned by your own mother after running out of food and water, abandoned by your own mother because she cannot bear to watch these final moments of your life. But remember that Ishmael has his name because in the Hebrew it means God hears. And so even when this young boy is left under a bush, God hears, and God responds. God calls out to Hagar and provides water for her to give to this child. And God promises to make of this child a great nation. So yes, Ishmael is sent away by Abraham, and in our story, he is just the child who is unnamed. But God hears, and God provides, because God's grace is so much greater than any of us could ever imagine. Our society is full of Ishmaels, unnamed children of God who have been neglected, forgotten, or even discarded in our world. People who have been pushed aside to the margins of society. And so we must ask ourselves, this is our question for this morning, who are the Ishmaels in our world? Who are the people that we continue to push aside, and who are the people that we have neglected and forgotten? You know, in some churches, it's the youth group that feels like the stepchild. I think I get to say this as the youth's minister, but it's so often that they gather in separate spaces away from the rest of the church for their fellowship, for their reflection, to be on their own schedule and to be in their own space. Well, this morning, you can tell who we are. We're wearing bright orange shirts. We're easy to pick out of a crowd. And so I hope that this morning you will stop. Grab someone with a shirt. Ask him or her about their trip to Lumberton and Red Springs, the experiences they had on our trip. Ask him or her for their name. Ask him or her about the ways that the Holy Spirit is active and at work in the lives of their community, even here at Greystone Baptist Church. You see, it's difficult to be a stepbrother. It's difficult to be an outsider even within one's own family. For stepchildren, life may look a lot more like it did for Cinderella than it did for the Brady Bunch. So let us all be much more considerate and much more compassionate of the stepchildren in our own society or even in our own lives. And remember, even when our society might neglect, forget, or discard some of God's children, God hears and God provides. Amen. God hears and God provides, and God is waiting for you to respond with your commitments this morning. Let us stand as we sing together, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please turn and share the peace of Christ with one another. And also with you. You may be seated.
Your interim search committee has met and clarified the process for securing an interim pastor. We've met with appropriate church committees to gather information and have consulted with two advisors. We continue to meet on a regular basis to accomplish this work. So we're asking for your prayer for us as we seek God's interim pastor for our Greystone family. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. We will continue to be keep the team in our thoughts and prayers. Just a quick announcement for you before you rush off, but remember that next week, being July 2nd, we will have, as usual, a joint Sunday school in the fellowship hall. We do invite you to bring some sort of covered dish for the breakfast that we will share together. Again, that will be in the fellowship hall beginning at 9:30 with a joint Sunday school following. And because of that, there will be no 8:45 service next week. We do look forward to all worshiping together at 11 o'clock, where we will be joined, you may have noticed in your bulletin, by the Hickory Grove Quartet for some of the service, bringing their gospel quartet and music to our service next week. So we do look forward to that. We hope you will join us next Sunday. And at this time, if you'd all stand again as we close our service in song. God hears and God provides. May you follow God to all of the places where Christ's love is present. Amen.